You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to Marcus Sahaba Online, and it's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. I'm your host, Yusuf Ali, and it's time for the Bliss of Marriage program. Yes, alhamdulillah, the program that deals with marital issues and family matters. And inshallah, any questions you have regarding the sacred institution, you can send us a message on 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. And we also welcome the listeners of Sirius FM. Feel free to send us a message on 084-786-3132. You can also find this program on podcast a bit later as well. But right now, let's focus on the live show, and your questions can come through. Let's welcome to the studios our Honorable and esteemed Mufti A.K. Hussein will be giving us advice and answering questions. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, arafat, jazakallahu khairan. And brothers, donors, sisters, esteemed listeners, Mohan Arafat has just gone out. He'll be back in the afternoon. And we thank our boat engineers, Brother Yusuf Asmal in Springs and Brother Lukolo, yeah, jazakallahu. Thank you very much. Barakallahu feekum to Brother Yusuf Ali.
Ameen. Wa iyyakum, Mufti Saab. Jumping straight into the program, inshallah. A question waiting for us coming as follows. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I'm currently engaged, but my parents want us to wait 4 years to get married so I graduate in university. What should we do?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, mashallah, is the 22nd of Rajab 1441. In this case here, both parties, the boy and girl, want to settle down, get married, but the parents on one side or both sides are saying no. They must delay and postpone it for 4 years. So what happens in a case like that? For the parents to do so is absolutely haram. Every sin that the boy and the girl will commit, they also get the sin, and the parents will also get the sin. So either you get married or either you call it off. And for you, my sister, if you are studying in university, that way you have to go every day, every second day, you should know that in itself is not permissible. And even if you are studying by correspondence, but to delay it for 4 years is out of the question. Remember, and the parents today, remember, they are Muslims, but their thought process is just like the non-Muslims. What good is that MA and PhD and so forth? It's not worth the paper on which is written. When remember that we are allowing our children to commit zina, fornication, all that. And it don't mean only sleeping, but their talking is also zina. They are seeing one another is zina. So you are promoting all these type of things. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says and tells us in the noble Quran, Wala taqrabu zina, do not even approach and go near fornication and adultery. Innahu kana fa. It is something obscene. It is something indecent. But today the Muslim Ummah, because they are trained with a Western mind, so they think just like the Kuffar mentality. So absolutely haram what you are suggesting. Chapter 17, verse number 32.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. How do I find a religious woman whom one wants to marry? I want to marry a religious woman, But I don't understand how to find that type of woman.
The first question you have to ask yourself, how religious are you, my brother? Many a time our people want to have affairs, fling with this lady, sleep with that lady. But when the time gets married, then they want a paragon of piety. They want a virgin and like a hoor, like one of the beautiful damsels of Jannah. But they themselves were so immoral and impure before that. So remember the system of Almighty Allah, chapter 24, Surah Nur, verses 26. Almighty Allah teaches us, At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, the pure woman for the pure man. Wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat, the pure man for the pure woman. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, the impure women for the impure man. So that is the system which Almighty Allah has mentioned. So we ourselves need to become pious. My brother, you are asking. Now this is your starting point. We all make mistakes, we all commit sins, we all commit vices. But if we made sincere tawbah and repented, we change our life around. So read 2 rakat salah daily, and after Zohar, after Maghrib, after Isha, Tahajjud time, Ishraq time, read Surah 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh beloved Allah, that you grant us such spouses and such offspring and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Chapter 25, verse 74, waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. See the beauty of the Quran. Waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Ya Allah, make us the leaders of those people who are pious. So how will we become the leader of the pious? That we ourselves have to inculcate the quality of piety within ourselves. So yes, my brother, you pass the word around. You are pious, then you'll get someone pious. If you're not pious, then you need to blame yourself. And then if you don't get the good partner, that also you will have to blame yourself. So cry to Allah, change your life around, and inshallah, give out charity. Almighty Allah will bless you with a pious lady, according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and not this deviant groups and non-Muslim groups like the Shias and Qadianis and Ahmadis and so forth.
Shukran for that. Mufti Saab, the next question, the coronavirus not leaving us alone. My husband has a shop at the mall. I'm afraid he might get the coronavirus. Can I go back to my mother's house if he does get infected?
You must remember that whatever happens, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. Good, bad, happy, sad, all comes from Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah has informed us in the noble Quran, قُلْ لَيْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Say, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing will afflict us except with Almighty Allah's command. Whatever Allah has decreed will happen. Yes, all the precautions we have to take into place. Obviously, that the Quran Sharif, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, Almighty Allah says. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take precaution, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and then place your trust in Almighty Allah. So all that in his place. But what's happening now, you must remember, is an overreaction, a panic in the market and in the houses and homes. So what you need to do, sister, is this. Read hadith daily in your home. Start ta'aleem, you, your husband, your children. Take Riyadu Salihin of Allama Nawawi. In yesterday's tafsir, I mentioned to you in Wal Asri that Allama Nawawi was such a great scholar. He only used to have one meal a day. He said, I'm so busy with my work, I don't have time for anything else. He never even got married. We are not suggesting we must not get married. I'm showing you how Almighty Allah accepted him and his works. And till today, Riyadu Salihin, wonderful work to be read in every home. So read that daily, inshallah, the fazail work of Hazrat Sheikh Mohana Zakariya Nawarallahu Marqadahu. And inshallah, all of you make dua together. Allahumma, read with me. Allahumma, إني أعوذ بك من سيء الأسقام. Oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases. This is authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and in Sunan Nasai. So therefore we should read this abundantly. Tell your husband when he leaves home, he must read this dua. Bismillah. I had to leave somewhere this morning now. I just got back just now. So whenever we leave, Bismillah, three phrases. In the name of Almighty Allah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, I place my trust solely, only on Almighty Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might and there is no power to prevent us from vices and sins and to take us towards good deeds, except Almighty Allah. When we read this dua, whenever we emerge and leave our homes, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that hudita, you will be given guidance, wa wuqita, protection. See that? Today, South Africa is the crime capital of the world. It is the AIDS capital of the world. Alhamdulillah, this coronavirus is still in the beginning stages. If you hear about Italy, you hear about Iran and all these countries, China, South Korea. Iran just released 83,000 prisoners and they said they're going to fight the virus. That is their thinking mentality with their muta and prostitution and sodomy. So you must remember, Italy in one day, 3,000 people got infected. So that is what Almighty Allah is showing. His punishment. And Almighty Allah can decimate and destroy each one of us in a split second. So wukita, you'll be given guidance. Wakufita, your needs will be taken care of. Wukita, you'll be given protection. Watanaha anhu shaitan. And the shaitan will go far, far away from you. So that is what we need to do. May Almighty Allah protect us all.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. What happens to my husband's assets if he dies? He has one brother only. Both his parents are still alive and we have two children.
Yes, mashallah, in that case there, you, the wife, you will inherit 12.5%. And thereafter, the parents, his parents, will inherit 1/6, 1/6. And now 12.5% and 1/3, that is 1/6, 1/6 to his parents. So already we're looking at 46% approximately is gone. His brother, his siblings, whoever they are, brother, sister, no one will inherit. You said you have two children, but you did not give us the breakdown of it. So let's say it is two sons. So then the remainder will go to the two sons equally. Let's say it is one son and one daughter. Then the residue remainder will be divided into three shares. Two shares for the son, one share for the daughter. And if it is two daughters, then 2/3 will go for them. So I gave you all the various different permutations. Let's go again through them. That you, the wife, if your husband passes away, 12.5% for you. His parents, biological parents, 1/6, 1/6, collectively 1/3. Remainder for the children, and remember, his brother does not inherit. And I gave you the different possibilities regarding the children. If you want to send in a message who the children are, then we can answer it accordingly as well. Remember, all this, sister, will only happen after your husband passes away, and then you still alive, his parents still alive, the children are still alive. So first thing is burial, funeral expenses. Second is the debts of the deceased. All their personal, corporate, business debts must be paid. Third one, wasiya. He made wasiya for Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He made wasiya for the Sirius FM. He made wasiya for this media, that media. So examples I'm giving. So all that will be implemented, maximum 1/3 of the total estate. And fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So that is how it works. It must be done in that sequence.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Assalamu alaikum. I want to marry a woman who is good in character, but she is a Hindu. She is ready to accept Islam and marry me. So am I allowed to marry her if she becomes a Muslim?
After she embraces Islam, and she must cut off all ties with the Hindu religion in this sense, no idols and no yoga and no saris and all these type of things that are the symbols of Hinduism. So all that from the bottom of her heart, then only can you marry her. And even if her family are upset about it, that does not matter. But while she is a Hindu, a non-Muslim, you cannot marry her. Surah 2, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 2-1. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَ. You cannot marry a non-Muslim lady and a mushrika, idol worshipper, and so forth, until and unless they embrace Islam. So my advice to you will be that if you want to marry her, you say that she is good character, whatever, make sure she becomes a Muslim and a proper Muslim according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and then you marry her, and then the onus responsibility will be on you to teach her daily about Islam and so forth. Not you just make a Muslim and then after 5-10 years you have 2-3 children and she still doesn't even know the basics of Islam. So you have to ensure all these mechanisms are in place as well.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, a rather lengthy one. Assalamu alaikum. I got married over 10 years ago. My husband did all that was necessary in terms of nikah with the presence of both parents, dowry and walima. We have more than 3 children now, but I was pregnant during the nikah. Is my marriage valid or do I need to validate my nikah?
Okay, remember, it means that you and your husband, current husband, had an illicit affair. You slept together. For that, you'll need to get 100 lashes, both of you, in public. You, the wife now, and the husband, Quran Kareem states, Surah 24, verse 2, Azaniyat wa zani, fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma miyata jalla, that when a party, both of them, they commit fornication, they're not married, and then remember you conceived and then quickly you got married. So you must remember it is you are guilty of a major sin. Obviously in countries like South Africa we cannot administer and mete out such type of punishment, so both of you must make sincere tawbah. That first child of yours, you say you got 3 children or more, Allah alone knows. Maybe you're expecting your 4th child or whatever you. But that first son, that first daughter, first child of yours is a harami child, an illegitimate child. And that is the verdict of majority scholars, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis. Your nikah is valid, but the child of yours is harami and an illegitimate child. The lineage of that child will go to you, the mother, and not to the father. The father passes away, that child will not inherit. And remember, whatever the father wants to do, he can give now to that son, to that daughter, the firstborn. That is the verdict of majority scholars, the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis. Hanafis have a bit of detail. Hanafis say, and you will be able to work it out, the day you got married to this husband of yours, from the date of your marriage to the date of the delivery of your first boy, your first son, your eldest child, if 6 months or more had elapsed, then only Hanafis will say that the child is Thabitun Nasab, meaning his lineage will go to the father and not to the mother. But from date of nikah till the date of the birth of that baby, your firstborn, if it is less than 6 months, then remember, even the Hanafis say, then it is a haram child and a waladu zina. The lineage will go to the mother, and remember, not to the father, and he will not inherit from the father. So these are the implications and the consequences and ramifications. So your nikah is valid, but both of you need to make sincere tawbah. And you realize the harm. Majority scholars say in all cases, whether that first child was born after 6 months, 7 months, 8 months or whatever, still it remains a harami child. And ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur. To have a lineage is a bounty of Almighty Allah. Wa huwa alladhi khalaqa min al-ma'i bashara faja'alahu nasaba wa sihra. Chapter number 25, verse 54. Wa hadhi al-aya ayatul imtinan. This ayat here is, this verse is highlighting the bounties and favors of Almighty Allah. Hence, majority jurists and scholars say that the bounty of Allah cannot be obtained via vices and sin. Therefore, there's no blame on that son or daughter. The sin is on you, the boyfriend and the girlfriend, now the husband and wife, and now the parents. The remaining children, all of them are fine, but the problem will be with the first one. So you need to address this issue. You and your husband, make sincere tawbah. Allah Jalla Wala is of forgiving, very forgiving.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Salaamu Alaikum, Mufti Saab. When a woman gets married, does her primary responsibility go to her in-laws?
Remember that the primary responsibility goes to her husband. Inna a'zama an-nasi haqqan 'ala rajul ummuhu. When a person gets married, the male, still the person who has the greatest rights and authority over him, is still his beloved mother and not his wife. Then the wife and children all will come. Wa inna a'zama an-nasi haqqan 'ala al-mar'a zawjuha. These are the words of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. And when the lady gets married, then the person who have the greatest authority over her is her husband, and not her parents and not her in-laws. So first your husband, then your parents, then your children. So all that, it falls in line like that. So you need to be clear that whatever you do for your in-laws, your father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, you are just doing a favor. It is not something that is imposed upon you from Sharia. It is just you are doing it from the goodness of your heart.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The number to dial, 084-786-3132. Send us a message, 084-786-3132. The name of the program is The Bliss of Marriage. We're going to go for a break, inshallah, and straight after that, continue the program.
You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
You are tuned in to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's Marcus Sahaba. And inshallah, we're taking in your questions. 084-786-3132. The Bliss of Marriage. Anything family related or husband and wife matters, give us a shout. And we have Mufti A.K. Hussein waiting to answer the questions. Interesting question coming up regarding recent events, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. My husband is refusing to go to masjid, and now we are arguing whether the mosque can be closed or not. Please help us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We definitely are against all this propaganda and the nifaq and hypocrisy that's going on in South Africa or any other country where they have closed the masjid completely, that no one is allowed even to go and read salat. In Islam, men must read salat in the masjid. Women must read salat at home. That is the law from the time of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are so many ahadith on that topic. So that's the first issue. Second issue is this: the men who say that they don't want to go to the masjid because maybe that person got the virus, that person got the virus. If you look at statistics in South Africa, the last I heard just before the program, it was in the 60s, 62, 63, around there. No one has died, but you take AIDS, you take so many other sicknesses which are so much more dangerous. So why we don't have all problems with them? When they come to our shop, then we don't have any problem. We will make more. Come more. Genagari, Genagari. You know Genagari. Come in my shop. Come in my shop and buy. So to come in our shop to make money out of them, then we have no problem. But the Muslim brother standing next to you, with him we got the problem. So how do we justify that? As far as prayer, closing down and shutting down the masjid, let me be very clear, is definitely not permissible. It is the act of munafiqeen and hypocrites. We need to be clear on that issue as well. And there's no justification. I suggested this morning that you, the musallis, go to the trustees and tell them open the masjid. And if they say no, go to all the media houses and expose them all that this is the house of Allah. It does not belong to you or your family. And remember, we have to open our masajid. I have three questions for these trustees who are considered to be incompetent in closing the masjid. Who gave you the right to close the masjid? So number one, that why you didn't close your shop? The masjid has to be open 1.5-2 hours for the 5 salat. In your shop, you're going to have 100 customers and more that will be moving in and out in the malls, in the shops, in the factories. For all these hours, why you don't close your shop? So where is the rationale in that? So number one. Number two is this, that you must remember you are playing with the deen of Almighty Allah. Today you close the masjid with your own hands because you feel you got authority. Let me share a bit of history with you, which is a very sad history. I've been to Uruguay about 4 times or 3 times. If you know Uruguay, you will know that they had 3 masjids in the 40s and 50s. Today, they don't have a single masjid in that country, whole country. 4 million people, 1 million or 1,000 Muslims. 4 million people, 1,000 Muslims. In the 40s, 50s, the Muslims closed the masjid. Sometimes they would read. Sometimes Jummah they will read. So one masjid, I went to each one of these 3 masjid. One masjid became a church. I went inside the church just to see which way is the Qibla. One masjid became a museum. You can still see the Quranic ayats on the wall in Montevideo. And the third one became a block of offices. Today, you trustees, you have closed that masjid. It must not happen that Almighty Allah closes this masjid of yours for good because of your incompetence and hypocrisy. So remember, open all the masjids. It's haram for you all to close the masjids. It don't belong to you. It's Allah's house that. And you can't say, come with all these stories of corona and all these things here. Since when we got people with millions of people with AIDS and much more serious diseases? So how, who gave you the right to close the masjid? And third one, you must remember, you are preventing the people from reading salat. And you're not allowing them for salat. You're not giving adhan, no Jummah salat. What do you think will happen? Don't Allah's wrath come on you? Allah's punishment. So all of you in any masjid used to go, the masjid is locked, put your own musallas there outside and read. Let the press come, let the media come and say, these are the trustees, the munafiqeen and hypocrites who have closed our masjid, exposed the whole lot.
Shukran for that. Mufti Saab, continuing on the same topic. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Many shops are selling foodstuff at exorbitant prices. Some people are even hoarding these items. Is that permissible?
This is a three-part question. Question number one is, in normal circumstances, we are speaking about absolutely normal circumstances. Islamic law regarding a shop or a business is that you have willing buyer, willing seller. And you must remember that, that is you happy, I'm happy. The merchandise, the commodity is halal, so it's fine. In Islam, we don't have a profit margin, a cap on it, a maximum amount. Sahaba radiallahu anhu came to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Sa'ir lana ya Rasulallah. That, oh Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you make a price. Nabi alayhi salam said, no. Inna Allah musa'ir, Almighty Allah makes the price. That is normal circumstances. When you're living in abnormal circumstances, now, you, the shopkeeper, more so when it comes to food stuff, now you want to exploit the situation and you want to charge exorbitant prices. So remember that that is not permissible in Islam. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yahtakiru illa khatiun. People will hoard all the stocks and wait for the prices to go up, or they themselves unilaterally start charging. So that is zulam and oppression and exploitation, which Islam does not allow. So we need to be clear on that. that issue. That's for the shopkeepers. For you, the people, we also living here in this world, you know. We also living in South Africa. So remember, we didn't buy no extra food. We didn't buy no extra toilet rolls. We didn't buy anything extra. You must put some trust of yours in Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. You know, when 1994 the elections were about to take place, 26 years ago, they told us there'll be a bloodbath. They told us this will run short, that will run short. People were stocking up and piling up. With Allah's help, everything, the transition was smooth. So many other times they gave you all fabricated propaganda messages and so forth. So that same Allah who helped us at that time, so will help us again. So yes, the necessary precaution we must take, but to charge exorbitant prices, exploit the people, and remember, for the people to go buy everything they find on the stock, the non-perishables. So remember, both parties are wrong in that case there. Remember, halat conditions come from Almighty Allah. Turn more and more to Allah. That's why we're saying you must open the masajid and not close them.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I am having extreme anxiety about what is happening around the world. Is there anything I could pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us ease?
100%, you must remember that so many people, they are, you know, iman weakness, or maybe their immune system deficiency, or maybe psychologically, there can be many reasons, but they have this anxiety, they have this worry, forever they're looking so glum and sad and so forth and worried, they have panic attacks. Read, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Truly there is none worthy of worship but you, Allah. Subhanak, everlasting glory is for you. Inni kuntu minal zalimeen. That I am, Almighty Allah, I the person, I am the wrongdoer, I am the transgressor. I confess to my guilt, Ya Allah. We are ordinary mortals. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam was a Nabi. They are protected from all sins. They are ma'asoom. Yes, they can make mistakes. There can be error in judgment, but not a sin. So, but for me and you, the translation will be a sin. So, because we are sinners. So, when we read this ayat abundantly, then remember Almighty Allah states, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ, that we rescued and saved him from the worry, sorry, anxiety, meaning Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, he was in the belly of the fish. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجَيْنَاهُ. Similarly, we will deliver and rescue the believers as well. Number 2, Surah 3, verse 173, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the one who is sufficient for us, and He is the best dispenser of our matters and our affairs. So that is a very effective dua. Similarly, with that, what you should be reading, Fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Chapter number 22. And that is Surah Hajj, and verse number 78, فَنِئْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئْمَ النَّصِيرِ. So read this. Number 1, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Number 2, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِئْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Number 3, فَنِئْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئْمَ النَّصِيرِ. Obviously, our 5 salat must be read and performed on time. Make time for tilawatul Quran. Give our charity daily in cash or kind, and Almighty Allah, He is the most merciful one to show mercy. Chapter 7, verse 151, وَأَدْخِلْنَا فِي رَحْمَتِكَ. O Almighty Allah, include us in your special, special mercy. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you, Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So you read that and things will improve, inshallah.
Ameen. Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question coming through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. My friend recently got married in a civil court. He had 2 females and 1 male witness for the ceremony. Is this marriage valid, or does it have to do we also have to perform a traditional nikah?
Remember that what you did there in the court or in the home affairs or whatever, that marriage is not valid. Number one is this: if I understood the question, you can just rectify me if I'm wrong, Brother Yusuf Ali, that they said that the boy was there, the girl was there, and then there was one male and one female.
Two females.
Or two females. Were they Muslim? Were they non-Muslim? Who knows? We don't know. Then did the girl's father give permission? We don't know. So remember, that is not a nikah and is not valid. So you must remember, you must have a proper nikah, and preferably in the masjid as commanded by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Waj'aluhu fil masajid, a'linun nikah, announce the nikah. Waj'aluhu fil masajid, perform your nikah in the masjid. So that are the commandments of Nabi alayhi salam mentioned in Tirmidhi. It's not compulsory in the masjid, but definitely sunnah in the masjid. So that we will say is not a nikah. That is just your civil marriage. Another nikah must be performed, and the girl must be happy, and her father, Muslim father, must be happy. Then we will say that that nikah is valid, and there are two male witnesses.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Is it haram for a woman to choose not to marry until I die? My husband passed away and I want to be with him in Jannah. I don't want to marry any other man. I'm 35 years old.
If you can control your lust and desires and you feel that you don't want to settle down again, that is your prerogative and choice, my sister. You became a widow at a very young age. So now your life is concentrating only, you must remember, on your children and so forth. So that is the sacrifice you are making. If you, my sister, you lead a chaste and a pure life, and you know hanky-panky business and so forth, so yes, you will be with your husband, you will be with your children, grandchildren, when they grow up, inshallah, they will have children. And the great tidings, because you made so much sabr, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with his mubarak fingers that that lady, her husband passed away, and then she led a life of afifa, a chaste and pure life. She will be so close to me. The master alayhi salatu salam put his two mubarak fingers together. So that is because of the sabr and the iffa, the chastity. But if you feel that, remember that you can't control your desires, you have that desires which is normal, and you're 35 years old, then get married, and remember, then to stay single would not be permissible. So you are the one who can decide that. But you seem to be one who is content with the situation, then status quo will remain. It's fine, but you must remain pure and chaste. Allah Jalla Wala give you, grant your husband Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Ta'ala make you a model mother for your children, and always read for them and yourself. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O Almighty Allah, Surah 46, verse 15, and this is in the 26 Supara, 26 Juz. Ya Allah, make this reform, bring this piety, reform goodness within our progeny and children.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through: is it allowable to accept marriage proposal from a boy that's working in a bank? We don't know whether his income is halal or haram.
Remember, once he's working in the bank, in any department, whether he is the cashier there, whether he is the accountant there, whether he's in the IT department, or whether he is the poisa there, the guard and security, the end of the day, the income comes from the bank. And the bank's money will always be tainted, polluted, because no bank today can run without interest. And we're running with a capitalistic society. So you must realize, whatever your daughter is going to eat will be polluted, tainted. Whatever your children will eat will be tainted, polluted. So therefore, we will not say that is the best of choices. You must remember that. Always look for a person, for your daughter, who is salih, nek, pious and good. His income is also halal and tayyiba. So that is what we will say. But the problem today is what? That people will say that yes, that person is very pious, but his wages is 5-10,000 rand. This person working in the bank, his wages is 30, 40, 50, 60. 60,000 rand. We want financial security. So you see the thinking of people, that they think that will bring the financial security. They forgot the promises of Almighty Allah. Chapter 65, verse number 2 and 3. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whosoever adopts the quality of true taqwa, piety, Allah consciousness, Allah makes a way out for that person. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Almighty Allah will give him so much risk and sustenance from such avenues you never ever expected and anticipated. Second one, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Read the beautiful 99 names of Almighty Allah. Allah is commanding us. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, man ahsaha dakhal al jannah. You read it, you by heart it, memorize it, you enter paradise and jannah. Read, ya wahhabu, ya wahhabu, ya Allah, you are the best of givers, give me, ya Allah. Ya razzaqu, ya razzaq, ya Allah, you are the only sustainer, nourisher, give me. Ya Allah, you are the only one can remove all the impediments and obstacles. Ya fattahu, ya fattahu, ya basitu, ya basitu, increase my risk. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu and the grand mufti of the sahaba used to say, iltamisul ghina fin nikah, that get married and Almighty Allah will increase your risk for you, inshallah. So see all the divine texts, prophetic texts, sahaba's verdicts. So all that are in front of us, but we need iman, we need firm conviction, then we will make the right decision.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question that comes through. Salams, I am 37 years of age. My wife has passed away and her younger sister is a widow since last year. Our families have started a discussion to get us into nikah. Both of us have kids. Is this permissible?
Yes, it is permissible. You were married to her sister. Her sister, your wife, passed away. Now her husband passed away. And now the two of you. But you can get married. But two things I want to warn you about. Between your sons and your children and her daughters and her sons and your daughters, parda will be compulsory. So you are ABC. And you marry XYZ, that nikah is fine. But your set of children and her set of children, the same gender is no problem. But the opposite gender, they total strangers to one another. So remember, parda will be compulsory. Can you apply parda? 99% you don't. And then is mera, tera or apna. So she has her set of children, you got your set of children, and then when you get married with her, you will start the third generation, my brother. So apna children, that is our set now. So you see, so my advice, if you cannot practice this parda, and that which 90% of our people don't do, then rather you call it off, you settle down with a lady who doesn't have children. So that is my advice to you.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. The next question coming through. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. I'm currently just 16 years old and I'm interested in marrying, but I'm not sure if this is right as I don't have a job and I'm still in school. I want to marry so I can prevent myself from zina.
Yes, so the best thing for you is to fast. The best thing for you is to leave school. There's so many vices there. And remember, the girls are in front of you. You ogling them, staring at them. Now you want to get married. You can't even pass school properly. You don't have a job. How are you going to support her? So if you want to lead a pure and a chaste life, so you leave school and you go and work. And then you save money and then you get married. And when you get all these thoughts on desires, so every second day you should be fasting. Tomorrow is Wednesday, you fast. Friday, you fast. Sunday, you fast. That is afdalu siyam, the best fast. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us Soma Dawood. And in that way, you practice on the hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the youth, my brother, your age. Ya ma'ashara shabab, oh you group of youngsters. Manistata aminkum yakumul ba'ata. Whosoever has the physical means, the financial means to get married, fal yatazawwaj, then get married. Fa innahu aghaddu lil basar, because it will keep your gaze down. Wa ahsanu lil farj, and it will fortify, protect your private part. Wa man lam yastati, and if you don't have the means, like in your case, you don't have the financial resources, fa alayhi bisawm, then you must fast. Fa inna sawma lahu wija, because this fasting will crush his desires. So if you're really interested, don't worry what people say. You leave school, you can study via correspondence. If you so wish, and you go look for a decent job, you get income, you save it, and then you get married, and in the interim, you keep as many fast as possible, and cry to Almighty Allah. When you're 17, 18, 19, you get married, mashallah. So in that way there, you will become a strong man who can stand on your own feet. Then you will understand the bounties and the favors of Allah. You are much better off than that person who got everything on the silver plate. You know, people just inherit, people just get their father's shop and business. You will be a man that you put your trust and place your trust in Allah, and then you will see how many doors Almighty Allah will open, because your intention is pure. You want to stay away from zina, fornication, which is rife and rampant in our high schools and universities. So therefore, your intention is right, my brother. Jaisi niyat, waisi barakat. Allah will open many doors for you, inshallah.
Shukran for that, Mufti Saab. Before we close off for a small nasiha, can we squeeze in one more question, Mufti Saab? Assalamu alaikum. Can a lady stipulate in the nikah contract that the husband may not enter into polygamy?
You must remember that ABC wants to marry XYZ. XYZ is the lady, but she wants a clause and a condition included in that nikah ceremony that he, the husband ABC, cannot take a second wife. So this you call tafwizu talaq. Tafwizu talaq means that the husband and wife reach a mutual agreement that if he, that is the husband, decides to take a second wife, then she, the wife, will have the right to exercise talaq, divorce, and she will divorce herself from him. So he, the husband, is handing over the right of divorce to his wife, and that is done with mutual agreement. It has become part of the marriage contract, so that will be permissible. Surah 5, verse number 1. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil uqud. O you who believe, fulfill your obligation and contracts. Hadith in Tirmidhi, wal muslimuna ala shurutim. The Muslims are bound by their contracts. An incident like that took place during the time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda is married to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha, and he said, I want to marry Jamila, whilst he's married to Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anha. Now who is Jamila? Jamila is the daughter of Abu Jahl. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, O Ali, this is what you will have to do. La tajtami'u bintu nabiyillah wa bintu aduwillah. The daughter of a Nabi of Allah, Sayyida Fatima, my beloved daughter, and the daughter, she's Muslima. Jamila was a Muslim, like Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl, was a Muslim. So they cannot be together by one person. So yeah, it was decided, fine, that you must remember you can't marry her. So he agreed, everything was agreed upon. So fine, the matter was called off. So from there you deduce, when both parties reach that agreement, then remember, then you can't get married. And if he, the husband, gets married to the second wife, then you will exercise the right of your talaq. You call it tafwizu talaq. You contact the Majlisul Ulama in Port Elizabeth. They got the ready-made forms and all that made for this. And then you go through it. You sign it. Your wife husband signs it. And the witnesses sign it. And then that will be binding on all parties. So yes, Islam will allow it, provided that it is done amicably and it is done as we have suggested now. Inshallah, we have 2-3 minutes left. Let me give you some advice, as our brother Yusuf Ali mentioned. First advice is, we are still in the month of Rajab, so let us read the dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. We know 2020 has started with so many things happening happening. There was the fire, 500 million animals perished and died in Australia. Then in February we came and we see that the coronavirus and what have you, and you see that this lockdown, shutdown in so many countries, whether it's Iran or Italy, whether it is Spain or Denmark, whether it is South Korea or wherever. So the numbers are increasing and Europe has become the new epicenter. So me and you, we are Muslims. So beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiya. Oh Almighty Allah, we ask of thee forgiveness. We are guilty, Allah, but we ask of you, beg of you forgiveness. Wal-afiya, good health, safety, precaution, everything you grant us, Ya Allah. And you grant us the Iman, and Islam must remain with us till our death. That is what we want, till we leave this world. And then is a passport for everlasting success. And the second dua for protection, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. Oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases. The first hadith mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, the second one mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawood and in Sunan Nasai. And third one, I must reiterate, I beg you, I humbly appeal to you, open all the masjids. Yes, we made a mistake, Allah forgive us. So open all the masjids, you keep it closed. Remember that Allah's azab, Allah's lanat will come upon such people, that you closing the house of Allah based on something that is just your virus. So remember, there's no valid excuse at all Islamically. So therefore, I appeal to you, open all the masajid wherever you are, and may Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala let us protect our masajid, Haram Sharif, Makkah Mukarramah, Masjid Nabawi, Masjid Al-Aqsa, and all our masajid throughout the world. 12 o'clock news, inshallah, with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, current affairs with Brother Alfred Nkosi, all the news, views in the world. 1 o'clock, Adhan for Zohar, 5:01 to 1:30, Surah Al-Asr, verse number 2, chapter 103. Then 1:30 to 2 will be Surah Qasas, and inshallah, that will be verse 56, inshallah. And thereafter, we will carry on 2 to 3, Sheikh Zakaria, and 3 to 3, the Q&A of this morning. Very, very interesting. I sent out the podcast already. And that will be 3 to 3:30, 3:30 to 5:30, Brother Amin Templeton. And there 5:30 to 7, inshallah, will be Moana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, will be Moana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices. 8 to 9, after the news, Moana Bilal Katrada with Tech Watch, mashallah. And then 9 to 9:30, Maulana Muaz Bayat with Tasawwuf and Tazkiyah. Wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and jazakallah khair to you, Brother Yusuf Ali, Lukolo, and Brother Yusuf Asmal. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can find this program on a podcast on the Markaz Sahaba website, www.markazsahaba.com. You can click on the podcast, inshallah, you'll find it there. Or you can get it on your WhatsApp as well. But for now, we're going for the 12 o'clock news.